Hallelujah. Praise God. Good evening, DCC. Good evening, DCC. You may have your seat. Okay. So for the career people, I make bold to say that you know what to do in order to soar in your career. True or false? True or false? Are there believers in the house? Yes. Be not hearers of the word only, but what? Doers of it. And for the business people, I believe you know what to do to soar as well. Business people in the house, I feel that vibe. You know what to do to prosper this year. True or false? Say to your neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. You see this morning? We will make it. You see this morning? We will manage it. You see this morning? We will multiply it. Because I know what to do. Hallelujah, somebody! Glory to God. So we've learned how to make the money, but I like to quote Miles Monroe on this. He said, if the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. So if you don't know the purpose for which you are to make wealth, you will abuse it. And we, as intelligent and intellectual and brilliant and knowledge believers, know that money is for the advancement of the kingdom. So we know without a shadow of a doubt that the enemy is in trouble this year. Who believes me? Yeah, devil don't hear him. Because the money in the hand of a believer is a powerful weapon. Because we are going to populate the kingdom of God and depopulate the kingdom of hell. Glory to God. Am I preaching good? Yes. Okay, so tonight, now we know how to make the money. We're going to be learning how to manage the money and how to multiply the money. You know, as Papa and Mama will say, there's a level you get to, the money will be working for you. So for some of us who are working for money, the reverse is the case tonight. We're going to learn how money is going to be working for us. We'll just sit down like this money. We'll just hear ATM is going to rip our head. So, and it's going to be physical. It rings somewhere and it belongs to us. So that's what's happening tonight. So without further ado, I'm going to be inviting two heavyweights on stage tonight. One of them has crossed seven seas and seven oceans just for, yes, he deserves a clap. Deserves an applause. So one of them has crossed seven seas and seven oceans to be with us. And one of us is already with us. You know, like Haggai in the Bible, he says, they opened her eyes and she saw a brook. So tonight you will open your eyes and you see a brook. I'm like, so this lady, if this brook, they my size is now they do anyhow. So, but tonight our eyes will be open to that brook. So without further ado, let's go further first. The man that has crossed seven seas and seven oceans. Can we welcome upstage Mr. Damilola Ajayi? Mr. Damilola Ajayi is a fixed income trader with Keystone Bank. You're very, very welcome, sir. Next upstage, the brook that's by our side. She is no other person than the formidable and the founder of Happy Employee Network. And she is Mrs. Nneka Jesro Irobe. Mrs. Nneka Jesro Irobe is the Associate Director, KPMG West Africa. Please, can you celebrate her? DCC Mainland, celebrate your own. Thank you very, very much. Can we have... So, you know the usual fashion... open mic as well, sir. So we're going to be doing it two prongs. So there'll be the open mic and there'll also be the Slido. So for our Slido, can we just go to our browser and as usual, click on www.slido.do. And the event code is DCC Money. DCC Money. Okay, all right. Can we... So welcome once again, Mr. Nneka, and welcome once again, Mr. Ajayi. So I just want you to, just briefly, let us know the importance of managing your finances.
So, Miss Neka.
Yes.
Ma?
Good evening. Money. Who doesn't want more money? Show of hands. You are good. No more. You are fine. Right? The Bible says that we cannot serve God and mammon. So money is important. Okay? Jesus was asked to pay taxes. And they had to go and fish and get the taxes out. So money is important. What I'd like to say to start is that money stays where it's respected. Money stays where it's respected. And I said this on the island yesterday and someone asked me, how does money know when it's respected? It's when you treat it with intention. So it's not everything that your emotions want that you use the money to do. So that's what I would like to say, that money starts with, that money stays where it's respected. Yeah, so if you don't mind, if you want more money, then show money respect.
Thank you very much. Brilliant.
Okay. Good evening, church. I think I would focus more on making your money work for you and why it's important for you to make your money work for you. You know, every human being has a certain amount of time you will do work. And after that, you need to, you know, even if you either retire or you're unable to work anymore. But before that happens, you want your money to be working for you. You don't want to wait until you make your first 1 million, or you want to wait until you make your first 10 million or whatever the case may be. As early as you can, you want your money to be working for you. You want to be asleep and something is adding to your bank account. You want to have, you know, if it is every 5 months, every 6 months, something is coming back to you. It's very important. It helps you plan. You can have investments that the returns are fixed and you can say to yourself, well, this particular investment is for this particular purpose. So you want to have your money work for you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Damilola. So there's a question here for you. It says, Mr. Damilola, I believe in investment, but I'm yet to get an investment that is genuine. And also for someone not earning a lot, can you advise on a good investment?
If you haven't found an investment that is genuine, then you are looking for investments that have high returns. You are probably looking for 100% interest rate in 3 days or 5 days. And there's a rule in the market. The higher the returns, the higher the risk. So if you are looking for 100% in 3 days, just be ready to lose the principal that you're putting in. But in terms of genuine investments, what I do for a living, I trade government instruments, government securities. These are, in a very simple term, government borrowing from the people. So for as long as Nigeria is still Nigeria, the return on your investment is secure. I mean, I have personally some investments in, I have several investments in fixed income securities. And I'm one of the people who is praying that Nigeria remains Nigeria, because, you know, it's the probably the safest investment you can have. And the third question was, which type of investment you can, you know, if you don't have so much money. Currently, we have federal government saving bonds. Federal government savings bonds are 2 to 3 year investments. So you put in however much you have, 10,000, 20,000. It happens every month. Second or third week in a month, it happens. And the minimum amount is 5,000 up to 50 million, you know, as God blesses you. And at the last auction, the interest on it was 17% for the 2 year bond and 18%. For the 3 year bond. And like I said, it's the federal government. They're not discussing with you. They will pay you as at when due. And you get your interest every 6 months. So if you speak to any financial advisor, any stockbroker, they would point you in the direction of federal government savings bonds. As low as 5,000, you can start investing, and the returns 17-18%. They're pretty high at the moment.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much. So, Mr. Nneka, this is for you. In these present day economic difficulties, how does one manage salary of less than 7 digits and still invest?
Okay. We got asked similar questions on the island yesterday, right? The first thing I want to say is that there's no salary that is too small for you to save from. And when I teach, or any business you're doing, as long as you're getting income from it, you can save from it. And when I teach people about money, I use the image of a malam. Many of us, you all have malam, your clothes, you know those malams, Abi? Are we together? Thank you. Yeah, I want that response. You know those malams in your clothes, when you look at them, you see that look of satisfaction on their face, contentment. In that is small kiosk with a wife or two or 7-8 children. You can actually see that the person is content. Abi? So the problem is not how much you earn, is your dreams and the things you want to do, the kind of clothes you want to wear, the kind of shoes you want to wear, where you want to live. The problem, so I think that's the first thing I want you to lose from your mind. That mindset that says, this money is too small to save and invest. You must see, like he said, that you are creating money that will work for you later in life. And even now, and like Izzy had said, Pastor Emi said, your money needs to be bringing money for you regularly. So first of all, lose that mindset. If the malam can survive with that, when he's selling biscuits, maybe it's 5 naira and 1. How many will he sell in the day? He'll sell Tom Tom 3. I don't know what it's sold for now. 15 naira, Abi. And he's there regularly. Some of them from there, if they change shop location. So lose that mindset that says your salary is too small, okay, to save and invest. The other thing is, be intentional about how you plan your salary. Money has a way of making you feel that it's plenty until it finishes. I said this to the married man, I think even to Kaira people. It has a way of making you feel like it's plenty till it finishes. So the salary comes in, or the income comes in from your business, and 100K, and then you're like, in the next 3 days, only 10K remain. What's going to happen? And he says, these people don't talk my money. These bank people, they have come again. All these, they are alert. Who know what's in you are the one that spent it. That's why I wore the t-shirt I have on. Money go, they carry, they go where you don't know. It will pull you. Money is like a bulldog that wants to go. So you must be intentional by budgeting. Plan what you want to use your money for. Before payday comes, make sure that every single naira in that amount or dollar, whatever it is you're earning, has a name. And consider yourself paying your, the way you pay yourself is by saving something and investing it. That's the way you pay yourself. The clothes you wear, the parties you go for, the ashwebi, that's not paying yourself. Paying yourself is saving something and investing it for the future.
Thank you very much. Mr. Damilola, how would you advise someone to gradually start investing in foreign currencies? Any recommendations?
Foreign currency is a very unsafe investment, if you ask me. I know sometime last month, dollar was at 1,900 to the naira. Last week, it was at 1,050 naira to the dollar. As at today, when I was leaving the office, it's at 1,300 and something. Unless you are actively on the streets, you cannot say you want to invest in foreign currency. It's not a safe means of investment. I usually say to people, there are two reasons you want to invest. It's either you're looking to invest for capital gains, or you're looking to invest for a return. So you really want to ask yourself that question. Why am I looking to invest? Am I looking for a gain on the capital? Am I looking for an appreciation on the money I've put in? Or am I looking for a return? Do I want something to be coming back to me? You know, personally, I would advise that to start with, you don't want to be looking for capital gain, because you can, your investment can appreciate, it can easily depreciate. It is for those who have, you know, you've gotten to a certain level of investment and then you're looking to diversify your portfolio. Starting with, you want a fixed return on your investment. You want the highest fixed return on your investment. And fortunately, right now, the government bonds, the fixed income investments, the rates are super high, 18%, 17%, 18%, 19%. It's been a very long time since we've seen rates this high. And I would advise personally that would be the first step for you. Don't look to do foreign exchange. Yes, you might make some quick gains, but I assure you, you will burn your hands if you stay there long. I've seen people who put their rent in FX thinking that, oh, once it gets to 2,000, I will convert it to Naira and I will pay my rent. And it dropped to 1.7 and he was calling me and he's like, ah, bros, what should I do? I said, I don't know. So yes, personally, our advice, you don't start with foreign exchange investment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Daniel.
Add to that, right? I think that if you want to play the game of USD exchange, that's a different thing. If you want to invest in companies that are not in Nigeria, that's a different thing. If you want, so you need to know what you want this money to do for you. Many of us are so focused on where can I quickly make money? Sharp, sharp. The problem with sharp, sharp is that it can also be sharp loss, right? So before you put your money there, you know, think carefully. I don't know, but I'm not sure if I would call buying USD investments pass. I don't think it's the right word to use. I think I can call it you are trading. Yes, I'm not sure. Because investments means we are creating value over time. You know, because when government gets bond money from you, they're using it for a road and all those other kind of things. Yeah. Do you get? So you buy real estate. But that one you can use it for trade. So be clear. I think it's important that you are clear what you want the money to do for you, right? And take your risk carefully, right? Because sometimes you put this money, like he said, is it for the long term? How long are you willing to wait? When do you want to sell? There are a lot of variables around that. So calculate well.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Damilola, can you explain what fixed income investment is really all about?
I like that question. So fixed income investment, yeah? As the name implies, the income on your investment is fixed. So you buy a 5-year bond, for example, and they tell you that every year will be paying you 18%. If you buy 100,000 of that bond, what that means is that every year you'll be earning 18,000. If you buy 1 million, every year you'll be earning 180,000. And, you know, if you buy 100 million, every year you'll be earning 18 million. And you can plan with it. You can say to yourself that I'm buying this bond for my children's school fees. So you invest in a bond, and you know that the returns come at a particular day. It's coming from the government. It's not coming from individuals. So what that means is that if they say to you, we will pay on the 20th, it's in the, it's predetermined. So you know that on the 28th of March, every 28th of March, you will be earning this amount. And bonds are semi-annual. So if you're supposed to earn 18 million, for example, what would then happen is every 6 months, you'll be earning 9 million. So you can plan, you can predict the return on your investment. And the most popular ones are the ones issued by the federal government. They have different tenors. They have different interest rates. And they are probably the safest means of investment. They are the safest way for you to have your money work for you. you put your money in fixed income investments, you have a guaranteed return over a certain period, and most importantly, your initial investment is safe. I think a lot of people overlook the fact that you can put in money and lose the initial investment that you have put in. You want to, even if you don't make money, you want to even recover what you put in. But with fixed income investments, your capital is safe, and then there's a fixed return on your investment.
Thank you very, very much. So at this point, I'm going to open the floor and pass the mic around. So if you have any question from the audience, please feel free to, by a show of hand, indicate your interest in asking questions. Is there anyone? Okay, there's a hand over there, yes. Thank you.
My question goes to Mr. Damiola. We are talking of the federal government bond. Now, in our country where we have insecure governance, what about if there's a change in administration? What happened to the bond? Or there's a military intervention? What happened to your bond? Thank you.
Thank you for that question, sir. And to answer your question, I would say there have been military intervention in the country. There has been change in administration in the country. And there has never been a default in the government bonds since as far back as history for Nigeria can, you know, as far back as Nigeria has issued bonds. We've had military administration, we've had civilian rule, we've had different parties, we've had different administrations, and not once has it been recorded that Nigerian bonds, there was a default on Nigerian bonds. So the truth is that whatever investment you have, if there is a complete collapse of the government, even if you had houses and Nigeria no longer exists, all your certificate of occupancy, all that, is valueless anyway. If you had shops and there's chaos, the shop, God forbid, there will not be chaos. But the point I'm making is that it is the safest form of investment in the country. Because as a country, the first thing you want to defend, it's almost a thing of, it's a thing of pride, but aside from pride, you cannot afford to allow your investments to go bad. And if you need to repay, it's very simple. You just print more naira. So if they need to repay on your investment, unlike other people that they need to go and do business or whatnot, the government, if they don't have the funds to pay you, they will print more naira and pay you. So you are guaranteed to get your returns.
Thank you very much. Is there any other hand up? Okay, there's a hand over there. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. My name is Ata Adache. I would like you to speak on other investment vehicles, real estate, MMM. No, it's very important. It's very important. We speak on this investment vehicle and let the people know what they are getting into, especially as it has to do with unstructured investments, like investments in land, houses, estate agents. They call you, bring your money, we are building this estate, that estate, and all sorts of those investments, so that we'll be all-rounded in our investments.
So I think my answer to that would be one of the first things I said. The higher the returns, the higher the risk. It's as simple as that. So if you are prepared to lose whatever initial capital you have put in, by all means, you can go for any unstructured investment. But the whole essence of this conversation is to make your money work for you, not to lose your money. We're not trying to make you lose your money. So, I mean, I don't think once something is too good to be true, somebody's telling you, I will give you 200% on your investment in 5 days. You should ask him, Oga, what are you doing to make 200% in 5 days? It's too good to be true. The higher the returns, the higher the risk. It's as simple as that. So if you're prepared, if you are looking for 200% returns, just know that you will get 200% risk. It's just that simple.
Thank you. Okay, so I want to add to what he said. We kind of did a tag team yesterday. The question was around different kinds of investments, other things that you can do, right? And the person mentioned real estate. The thing with real estate is that you usually will require a significantly larger amount of capital, right? And if you want to invest in real estate, there are all these mutual funds, cooperative type organizations that do them. But you've got to be careful to make sure that you do your due diligence properly. Again, he raised something around real estate. There are companies that will give you a plan and tell you that we're on plan to build. I remember driving past somewhere on the island with my senior colleague, and he was like, these people met me in the airport 3 years ago and showed me this building, and it's exactly the same way it has been for the last 3 years. No addition, nothing. And they are selling and they are collecting people's money, you know, story. And when you think about it, you've seen some of these bigger comedians call out some of these companies, right? Okay. So you've got to be careful that they have delivered, you know, look at people who you know. Well, we have people who do real estate business here in church. So ask questions. I'm not saying because they're in church, they are definitely as a guarantee, but I'm just saying ask questions. Around things like MMM, you know, again, it's the same question, higher risk, higher return. The other things I want to talk about is there are businesses around you, right, that you can invest in. There's someone you know who has been consistent for 2-3 years doing maybe food business, maybe doing small transport business. You know the person. Person is consistent and is growing. Can you tell the person, okay, what if we add one machine to what you are doing? How would that, you know, what can you be giving me? I've seen people, I know people personally, who have made those kind of investments. And every month, you know, some money is coming in. Oh, they partner with somebody, they buy her a small, grinding machine, that kind of thing. And every month, she's giving returning 10,000, you know, that kind of thing. So there are opportunities like that. The other thing is, I think personally that one of the biggest investments you can make is investment in yourself, who you are becoming, what you are listening to, the kind of books you are reading, conferences you go for. I was saying to them on the island yesterday that there's a conference I went for 2 weeks ago. It was a paid conference. The things I heard, Kule Shonryon was there. One sentence I heard, I've been marked for life. I can't forget it. It's affecting me in my spiritual life, in my faith, in my work, everything. So I think that one of the greatest investments is in who you are becoming and what you are, which is why Pastor K has been shouting about soul prosperity. So what are you listening to? What kind of circles are you in? There are some groups I am in. They are paid groups. And the reason I'm paying is because there's some kind of testimony I want to be hearing. When someone says, oh, they invested something and they made this kind of money, I'm like, they have one head. It's one head on this head. They are serving the same Jesus. Forget, I will collect. So I'm not necessarily about making that investment. I'm paying to be in that group so I can be hearing those things regularly. I'll not be hearing it. And I went to another conference. I saw someone say she charged some certain amount of money for coaching. I went back home. I sat down. I worked with Chini. I told her, this was Saturday. By Sunday, we have crafted plan. I said, what? People are making this kind of money. So the circles you are, the people you are listening to, the magazines you read, some of this skit thing you are watching is not helping you to expect more from God and expect more from your life, from yourself. You are too much on the screen, on Instagram and stuff. Invest in yourself and in who you are becoming. Money will come.
Okay. Just in addition, to answer the first part of his question, there are other structured types of investments. I've spoken about fixed income investments. You have the equities market. You can invest in stock. Just know that with stock, you're not looking for you know, returns. You're looking for capital appreciation. So with stock, you can buy shares in a company. Right now, I know bank stocks are not doing so good, but FMCG stocks, they're in the buy side. So, I mean, even if you don't have access to a stockbroking firm, you should have in your circle of friends somebody in the finance space. Speak to them. They can, you know, they should have some advice on the kind of stocks you can buy. There are also commercial papers. Commercial papers are when structured companies want to borrow from the public. So a Dangote, for example, can issue a 270-day commercial paper. What that means is that you are borrowing money to Dangote to do Dangote refinery, and he will pay you back a return. The last Dangote commercial paper, I think it was about 17 or 18% for a 270-day paper. You are giving him however much you have, and he will pay you back 17% on it. There are different companies. You know, the bigger the company, you know, the less the return. But if you speak to your banker, I think that's usually, everybody should have a bank account. That's a good first step. Even if they don't have the answer, they should be able to point you in the right direction. So there are commercial papers, there are equities, and you know, there are also fixed income investments. And by fixed income investment, I'm talking about treasury bills and treasury bonds.
Thank you very, very much. Nick, I'm just going to pull you back to the question, to the issue you raised. And the question is, what advice would you give to someone who's investing in her personal and career development so much so that this investment is affecting her saving habits? Maybe she's unable to save.
So I'd say that there's a fine balance. In Nigeria, we like certificates. So is it a case of you are chasing after the next one they say you should get, the next one they say you should get, the next one you say you should get? Sometimes, personally, in all honesty, I get a high when I buy books. Just the fact that I bought a book, I'm happy. Will I read it? That's a different conversation entirely. So sometimes just the feeling that, you know, I have added another certificate is making you happy. It may not translate to more money. So be very intentional and careful in how you make those continuously spending money for a certificate, for a course. You know, you're continuously always paying for something. Ask yourself, do an audit of what you've spent so far, whoever asked this question, and anyone else that it applies to. How many of the things you paid for have you listened to, completed, applied, right? And give yourself an embargo for the next 6 months. I am not going to pay for another one until I complete one and two. Does that make sense? So that you are not just on a running treadmill of continuously spending money. The other thing I would say is, don't be... Which one is it? Is it the Dead Sea, they say, that takes water and does not give out? Is it Red Sea? I don't know. One of them. Is it Dead Sea? Dead Sea, hey. Don't be like the Dead Sea. You are collecting, you are collecting, you are not giving out. I was thinking about it today as I was coming here, that the social media has made it possible for you to reach people in any part of the world. Who are you teaching what you know? So you've amassed so many certificates. In fact, I wrote here that when the Bible says your gates are open continually, the way I see it is that I have products that people can buy from anywhere in the world, digital products, courses and stuff like that, okay? And money's coming in. So you have amassed certificates and stuff. Who are you teaching what you know? How is that money you got, that money you spent, rather, for that certificate, translating to money for you, right? Are you coming out on social media, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and teaching what you know and building a brand? So that people can call you. When banks call me, when companies call me to speak, they're not just calling me because of that. They're not paying for just the 1 hour. It's all the things I've been talking about for a long period of time. The certificates and courses I've been, that's what they are paying for. So don't just amass certificates. Tell yourself from today, starting this weekend, you will write one thing about that certificate, that course that you learned from it, and post it. And every week, you make a conscious effort of writing something about it. That is the way for that investment and certificate to start bringing you money. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you very much. Mr. Damilola, what's your take on cryptocurrency trading?
Okay, so I can only speak personally, and I currently have no investment in cryptocurrency. I think I'm too young to have heart attack. I've seen cryptocurrency half its value in a day. What that means is that you had 200 million you had 1 million in investment and it turned to 500,000. That's what it means. Half its value in a day. It's too volatile an investment for someone who's looking to make his money work for him. Yes, there's potential gains, but for as long as you haven't sold it, all you're seeing is a potential gain. The friend I had that, you know, invested in dollars, I've seen people invest in dollars, they've bought, or cryptocurrency, and they've bought it at a certain price. And, it, you know, the price goes up, and they're like, I've made so much money. And then once the price comes down, you forget where you bought it from. All you're looking at is where it had gotten to, is against, you know, where it currently is. It's too volatile an investment. Your money is not working for you. Your money is giving you high blood pressure. It's not. Personally, I wouldn't advise on it being your primary form of investment. If you have some money in real estate, you have some money in fixed income, you have some money in equity, you have some money in commercial papers, money market instruments, and you now still have a bit extra. So it's not even your capital. Maybe you have interest on your investment, or interest on the interest on your investment. You now say, okay, I've invested something, I got something. I invested the interest I got, or I now got another something ahead. Then you can say you want to use the interest on your investment for cryptocurrency.
Thank you very, very much. So I'll open the floor once again. Are there questions in the audience? Okay, there's a hand over there. Yes, thank you.
Good evening now. My name is Adiola Ojo. I just want to make a comment, particularly as it relates to other forms of investment. Let me start with real estate. Traditionally, I know a lot of us, growing up, having your first job, the first thing that comes to your mind is you want to have your own house. There's nothing bad with that. However, in the investment world right now, there's a kind of shift, and I want people to look at his example. There was a message that went viral that sometimes in 1990 or thereabout, Jamovia had 20 million, Sir Shino Peters had 20 million, side by side. And what did Shino Peters do? He built a house, which was a laudable thing. What did Jamovia do? He invested the 20 million. 20 years after, I'll leave you all to, answer that, what has happened 20 years after. So for real estate, it's all about liquidity and how you can turn around your investment. If I have 100 million naira today, the first thing that comes to my mind, should I invest? But the point is this, over 10 years, a real estate investment can give me maybe 60, 70%, 80%, which is a decent return. However, if I put the same investment, just like my said, into a CP that yields 20% every year, can imagine, by the time you compound over that 10 years, what that will be. And then you can decide to just buy your invest in real estate. So you're actually using one stone to bed. So I just... Somebody asked a question about cryptocurrency. You see, my advice is this. I did a little bit of cryptocurrency. I'm an investment person, but the reality is that, in quotes, it is not really a safe investment, just like I said. And the rule is this. Anything that does not have an underlying asset, a general rule, any investment you cannot attach an underlying asset to, you don't have to go into it. At some point, later in the future, you'll definitely get burnt.
And that was what happened, you know, something related to that, which is the MMM case. People were getting returns of about 70, 80, 90%. No structured investment will give you that kind of return. So people's greed just drove them to that. Somebody also asked about structured investment. The reality is this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Adeola. I thought it was going to be a question, but thank you very much for that very instructive contribution. I'm sure we'll take you one or two things away from that contribution. Is there any? So I'll ask this question. So, Mr. Damilola, can you please shed more light on mutual funds as an investment option?
Okay. Mutual funds are an easy way to start investment. What mutual funds are, my understanding of mutual funds, you don't have enough to invest in, you know, a particular security, but they pull people's funds together. So 10,000 here, 20,000 here, 50,000 here, it's pulled together and it's invested in a particular security or whatever. The company invests it. And then the only difference is that with mutual funds, the rates are not fixed. Most of those mutual funds have floating interest rates. It's high today, but what most of those companies do in order to maximize their own interest, their own, you know, returns, when interest rates fall in the market, they drop their interest rates. They drop the returns. However, with the other types of with fixed income investment, it's fixed. Nobody is, whether rates drop or today rates are high, next month, next year, rates could drop. Once you've keyed in into a fixed income investment, it's what you've keyed in that you will continually earn. But with mutual funds, I think they're good starts. It's an easy start for someone looking to start investing. But it's not something you would stay in. You will start there, and then as your understanding improves, you start to look for other means of secure investment.
Thank you very much. Ms. Neka, is it recommended to stoop low when looking for money, like doing menial jobs when you are a Christian? Praise God.
Okay. Praise God. I see we all have answers in the room, right? There's no job that is too low to start from. The problem is many of us are waiting for some big job before we get busy, and that's why we are sitting at home and saying that we're not employed, right? You can start. In fact, many people come to me and say they don't have what they are doing. I say there's someone that needs your help. You have just not paid attention to it. There is somewhere you can go to and add value. What work is adding value? Very simple. Is helping somebody. So even when I teach employees, I say to employees that no matter how great your job title is and the job description is, at the core of what you're doing, you are hired to help your boss succeed. That's the summary. If the company thinks that your boss can create results without paying that salary, they won't hire you. Right? So if you're running a business, you are serving customers, you are making clothes, you are adding value to that person, you are helping that person to look fine, you are doing makeup, you are making shoes, whatever it is. So there is nothing wrong. Cleaner, whatever it is that you want to start somewhere. Diligence. Again, the conference I went for, Kule Shonriye shared the story of somebody graduate, got out of school and got a job as a security man in an eatery. Someone he knew personally. And he said to the person, take it. Let them assign you to car park in the eatery. So what he did was he printed copies of his CV. Every car that comes in, he's committed to parking you properly. And he's not doing it for money. When he's, I'm a graduate, this is my CV. It didn't take 2 months, he got a job. And from there, so the problem is you are, sometimes we think, maybe I'm sure it's a nice thing to say. I will say it. Sometimes we think too highly of ourselves. Right? I'm sorry, but I sometimes we do. And many times we are just lazy. I don't have a job is an excuse. The opposite of what you should be saying is I'm lazy. why I don't have a job, right? There are places where you can add value. There are people you can walk up to today and say, what can I do for you? And you do it and do it, and you are building skill. There are people who have gotten jobs because they served in church. They served in different departments. They got those references. So please start. The Bible says that he that does not work should not. I'd not hear. Uh-huh. So there is no way you can. There are people you can wash clothes for. There's a lot you can do. So please start. What God promises is to bless the work of your hands. I assure you, if you do it properly, there's no way you can't stay low.
Thank you very much. Mr. Damilola, I did a savings plan with Niger Insurance. Until now, I haven't gotten my maturity money because of issues with the company. NICOM isn't forthcoming. Please advise me.
So, in everything I've said, I think one thing that is very important is for anyone looking to invest to start with your due diligence. I'm sorry that you invested in Niger Insurance. If you had asked me then, I'd have told you to put your money in federal government investments. I'm hoping that NICOM comes to, you know, they provide a solution very soon. But due diligence cannot be overstated. During yesterday's session, we were asked something similar. And I said to the audience that an easy way to start is your bank. They owe you a duty of care to either provide you with a solution or point you in the right direction. So you don't want to, because somebody said, oh, I'm putting my money in Niger Insurance, or because an agent came and sold it to you, without you fully putting in an additional effort to find out what they are using that money for. I don't know the underlying assets that Niger Insurance was trying to, you know, the underlying investment, but you always want to put in just a little extra due diligence. Just find out what is this investment all about. I mentioned commercial papers. Every time I invest in a commercial paper, I'm always asking this company that I'm investing in, what are they trying to do? The last one, they wanted to open a new factory. That was why they were borrowing. I'm like, oh, sure. I will put my money there. So that extra due diligence is always very important.
There's no investment that has guarantee, 100% guarantee. So let's just be clear. Even getting up and sitting down on the chair, yeah, sitting on, there's no guarantee, right? So Niger Insurance was doing very well, right, for a long time. And then other issues came up. I mean, I'm aware of some of the issues, right? But the fact is there is no invest, which is why, and even the Bible says that you should sow in the morning and plant again later on. So which is why I talk about diversifying, okay? And that's why I also talk about investing in yourself. The knowledge you have, and when you teach others, that one is inside you, right? Except when God calls you, right? So that's why I talk about investing in yourself and who you are becoming, the circle that you are in. I'm big on that. So there is none. So don't get hung up on that one and say because of that you will not do any other investment or anything like that. No. Heal from the loss, right? And continue to think of ways to invest and grow your money. Don't now say, I'll keep everything in savings accounts. The least you can do is what is described, the fixed income one, at least. Because savings account won't give you anything compared to that. So the least you can do that fixed income one. But don't let it hold you back, right, from what could happen for you in the future.
Thank you very much. So, sir, so can I walk into my bank and ask for government securities, or how do I go about it?
You can walk into your bank and ask for what fixed income opportunities, what fixed income investment opportunities are available. I know I cannot mention banks, unfortunately, but there's a bank that starts with a G. There's some banks that start with S. You can look to start in those banks. They have a bank starts with K. You can also start with that bank as well. But I mean, most banks have a treasury sales team that can advise you on is just to ask and, you know, follow up with whoever you have, your contact person there. And if they don't have an investment opportunity for you, they will point you in the right direction.
Thank you very, very much. So is there anything you want to say to us, any advice that you want to give to us as we round off this session? Yeah.
So there's a question I saw here about family demands for money, right? And it kind of popped up a lot. And it was asked on the island yesterday. So I want to just share from that perspective. I said earlier that money makes you feel like it's plenty until it finishes. So watch out for that. Put your money on a leash, budget. I say to people when I teach about money that if companies, conglomerates, countries run on budgets, why do you think you don't run on a budget? Companies, the largest companies you know, the country, Nigeria, has a budget. We know how much is coming in and what it's going to go to. So why do you think you can run your life without a budget and you want to build wealth, right? The other thing is, how are you using your time? Okay? Money is currency. Time is currency. You use time to create value that brings money to you. And I said on the island, I mean, this is a quote that I think Holy Spirit gave me a couple of days, weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or so. It's easier to Netflix and chill than to network and grow. It is easier to Netflix and chill than to network and grow. I've written 5 books. Those books were written going to work, coming back from work. The time you're watching film, I was writing. So when I come out and I sell a book and I collect money, you can't be angry with me because we have the same 24 hours. How are you using your own? So money boosters is the topic, Abby. And we need you to make money. Pastor Jethro, we need money for church, Abby. We need you to make money, right? So how are you using your time? How many movies are you watching? What are you using your time to do? Be very intentional with your time. With respect to family demands for money, let me say 3 things. Number one, don't approach your parents' demands for money from a place of anger, right? Those who raised you, elder ones who raised you, who are not doing so well, who are asking you for money, don't be angry about it, right? The first mindset, and if you check my Instagram, there's a video where I've broken this down in detail, talking to you about how to handle that. The second thing is budget that amount of money. How much will you give your family on a monthly basis, quarterly basis, and be consistent? Don't let them call you and say, we never see money. Don't do that. Be consistent. 3, define who you are giving money to. It's not everybody that asks. Some people have made you an ATM. You don't know. You're not aware. Every 26th of every three months, you get a text. Varied, but it's waiting for you. Charity is not waste. Many of you are confusing waste for charity. Be very careful. The last thing I'll say about that is, what are you talking about? You are negotiating something for your office. You are a banker. A customer is depositing $3 billion. Chinedu, that money don't enter. The $3 billion where that man they send now from that company. Your mother is there hearing you discuss $3 billion. In her mind, my son has made it. God has delivered us. Then when she now asks you for your phone, you are now angry. Oh, mama, waiting happen. I'm not getting money. Why? What were you talking about? You want to buy a phone. You're asking your younger brother or a laptop. This mark is $1 million. This one is this one. How much? Then when he comes tomorrow and asks you for phone, you say, why is he asking you for money? You are the one that brought him to the conversation of your money. Be careful what you're talking about. Money is powerful. Money needs to be put on a leash. If you're going to boost money, you must be intentional. The farmer knows that if he doesn't keep anything left, that no matter how bad the harvest is, the farmer knows that if he was going to guarantee money, food for next year, he must keep something aside and invest it. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much.
So I think the first thing I would say to the church is that when you're looking to invest, you always want to first ask yourself, are you looking for capital appreciation or are you looking for a return on your investment? That should always be the first question you're asking yourself when you're looking to decide on what to invest on. Are you looking for an appreciation on the value or are you looking for, you know, a steady return on your investment? Secondly, I would say that you should always be aware that if the returns are high, the risk inherent to that investment is always high. So the higher the risk, the higher the return, the higher the risk. And I would advise that for every investment you're putting in, you want to ensure that your capital is retained. You don't want to lose your capital. So when you're looking to decide on what to invest in, always ask yourself, am I going to get back the initial investment I've put in? You should always ensure, you should think about capital retention first and then, you know, gains after. And lastly, I'd like to share that it's never too early to start investment. It's never too early. There are so many types of investments, no matter how small the amount is. And I would advise that once you start investing, you start putting your money in assets, you want to register a company. The reason I say that is that you want a company in your name, your spouse, your children, and the assets you have acquired would be in that company name, such that when the time comes and, you know, you are no longer here, that investment is still in the company's name, not in your name. If it's in your name, the government will take, I think, 30 or 40% of it. So you think you've left 1 million for your family. There is something called inheritance tax. I think it's about 30 or 40%. I can't remember exactly. And they will come and they will take it. Then nobody's asking you any question. However, if it's in a company, all that's happened is that a shareholder in that company has passed. The rest of the shareholders are still there. And registering a company doesn't cost so much. I think it's about 50 or 60,000. So think about it. Register a company strictly for assets. Don't put any liability there, please. Don't put any expenses there. Strictly for assets as you grow. And the earlier you start, the more investments you have, you just put it in that company name. You put it in that company name. And over time, you would see your investment grow. And you would also ensure there's a continuity, because companies outlive their owners. All the companies we know today, most of the people who started them have passed. So the company that you create today would most likely outlive you.
Thank you very much. Davis Christian Center, have you been blessed tonight? Have you been blessed tonight? And is that how you're going to appreciate our panelists? Thank you very much, Mr. Neka Jesue-Robe. Thank you very much, Mr. Damilola Ajayi. Thank you so much for the wealth of wisdom.